Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time now for the Brian Barrett Show on EEI.
Finish of the game. There's a drive to left field. That proves it. Way back. And this one is long gone toward Kenmore Square. Tremendous home run by Vlad Guerrero Jr. He got all of that one, and it's 2-0 Jays. Wow, that was deep into the night.
He heard me.
All right, welcome in. So the Red Sox and the Jays had to end their exhibition game a little bit early tonight due to the fact there's rain over at Fenway at the time. The Red Sox were trailing the Jays 2-0, so they lost last night. And it was a familiar theme for the Red Sox last night. The bullpen had some struggles, but tonight it was weather-induced that they had to end this game a little bit early. So we'll have to wait until Friday until we actually see the Red Sox in live action with Nathan Eovaldi on the mound for the opening day starter for your Red Sox. Every year, it seems like there's a new opening day starter for the Red Sox. This year, it's going to be Nathan Eovaldi, the $68 million man. So the big news today, of course, is Mookie Betts. But before we get to that, some other big news. The biggest free agent to sign with the Patriots this offseason, Cam Newton. Channel 7 has pictures on Twitter right now of Cam Newton arriving at Logan. So Cam is in Massachusetts and he's now here to stay. We've been waiting to see when Cam Newton was going to arrive in Massachusetts. He's here. And Monday, the quarterbacks report to training camp. So Cam Newton is in Massachusetts and he's getting his luggage at Logan Airport. And he's going to, I don't know where Cam Newton's staying in town, but Cam Newton is here. So Cam Newton, the new quarterback of the New England Patriots, has actually arrived. And by the way, I'll get into this in greater detail as we go on tonight. But last night I mentioned, why hasn't Cam Newton worked out with Julian Edelman yet? And all of a sudden this morning, right when I wake up, I look on social media and there Cam Newton is working out with Julian Edelman. So I'm happy those guys actually worked out before Cam decided to take off from Los Angeles to Massachusetts today. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. Get an extra hour tonight to work with. So I wanted to start with this Mookie Betts deal because today, Lou Maloney of WEI, of OMF, of course, he broke the news early this morning that Mookie Betts was about to sign a massive contract with the Los Angeles Dodgers. It ends up being 13 years in total, but the extension is 12 years. $365 million for Mookie Betts. So at this particular point in time, I would ask you this. Are you upset that Mookie Betts has now signed an extension with the Dodgers, and he's not a member of the Red Sox going forward? So when you look at this, I got to give Mookie Betts, first of all, a ton of credit because I didn't see him getting this contract. And the reason I say that is after he's traded to the Dodgers, we have the coronavirus pandemic that happens that halts the original spring training in Major League Baseball. So you have a bunch of time there between the resumption of summer camp, if you will. You have issues with the owners and with the players in Major League Baseball. And at that point in time, remember, a couple of weeks ago, Mookie Betts was actually asked, hey, do you regret passing on the $300 million contract offer that the Red Sox made you after the 2018 season? And Mookie Betts said, no, and I didn't believe him. I felt at that particular point in time, that was the best Mookie Betts was going to get, considering all the circumstances and the uncertainty going forward in terms of the money in the sport. I didn't believe that Mookie Betts was going to get a contract like this. I was wrong. Mookie Betts bet on himself. He was certainly right. But I just want to go back to this before I get into how this plays out for the Red Sox long term. Is Mookie Betts the businessman? Holy crap. I have to give this guy a ton of credit because think about all the offers he passed on. So in 2016, or I should say after the 2016 season, the Sox offer him a 5-year, $100 million deal, which he had a good season in 2016. But to pass on that type of money that early in your career, usually we see guys sign that contract. In fact, Alex Bregman signed a contract just like that. So Mookie Betts after 2016 says, nah, I'm good. I don't want that. Then after the 2017 season, which remember, that was a bad year for Mookie in terms of what he did in 60. Not a bad year for Mookie, but by Mookie's standards, so to speak, he only hit, what, 264, 344 on base percentage in 17. His numbers were way down. He was offered an 8-year, $200 million deal. 8 years, $200 million. After hitting 264 with a 344 on base percentage, Mookie said, nah, I'm good. I'm still good. I don't need that contract. I don't want that. Then in 18, after his MVP season, his great MVP season, where he hit 346, of course, the Sox win the World Series that year. He has 32 home runs. He was tremendous. He passed on 10 years and $300 million. And this is after, remember, in 17, he does not have a great season. 18, he performs at a very high level, and he passes on $300 million. And by the way, just imagine that. He legitimately passed on $300 million. You have to have a lot of lower intestinal fortitude. You have to have big balls to say, yeah, I'm good with $300 million. So anyway, today he gets 12 years, $365 million. Incredible. And the total of the contract is over $390. So only Mike Trout, in terms of total value, is getting more money than Mookie Betts, $426.5 million. And Mookie Betts, by the way, is now signed up through his 39-year-old season through 2032 with the Los Angeles Dodgers. So I doubted that this was going to happen for Mookie Betts, but I got to give him credit as a businessman. He told the Red Sox no three different times. Three different times the Red Sox offered Mookie Betts a contract extension, and he said no. And he was proven right because he got exactly what he wanted, which was, now maybe he wanted more and maybe he said to himself, well, I don't know what free agency is going to be, so let's get this deal done at this particular point in time. But still, to pass on 100 mil, to pass on 200 mil, to pass on 300 mil and still get what you wanted, which was somewhere between 350 and $400 million, he got that. He's going to get in total just over, what, $390 million, $365 in the new 12-year extension. So pretty damn impressive for Mookie Betts to be able to pull this off. But as this pertains to the Red Sox, I still stand by what I've said the entire time. They made the right move by moving on from the player. Okay. The majority of these deals, the reality of it is they don't work out. And by the way, I don't believe that Mookie Betts is going to age particularly well. He's 5'10", 180 pounds or so, not a big guy. His game is based on athleticism, his super quick hands. And with this team, you have Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers. And Bogaerts is the same age as Mookie Betts, and he's already locked up for what, the next 8 years. He's already signed for $200 million. Not to mention the fact that Rafael Devers, this is the next move, if I'm the Red Sox, I got to take care of, because not everybody's like Mookie Betts. Most young guys are going to take that contract where you buy out the arbitration years like a guy like Alex Bregman did. That's ordinarily how it goes in baseball. Mookie Betts is an exception to a rule. Bryce Harper is an exception to a rule. And Mookie Betts, I give him credit for that. But if I'm the Red Sox now, I'm turning my attention to Rafael Devers and saying, I have got to lock this guy up. Because what you have now, and really, if you think about it, with Mookie Betts, he was expendable for this team. Not to say that he wasn't great and he wasn't a major contributor to what the Red Sox did last year. But I really don't see the offense falling off a cliff without Mookie Betts. In fact, if you really look at it in terms of the totality, I get that Mookie Betts last year led the team in on-base percentage. But other than that, he didn't lead them in any other categories, right? You think about the home runs, Devers, Bogaerts, and J.D. Martinez all had him beat in that category. I mean, you look up and down the list, Mookie Betts was really good last year, but he was not the best offensive player on this team last year. So when I just look at it from that perspective, it's not worth paying Mookie Betts for 13 years. That's just not how you build a sustainable winning product, especially considering the fact when you look at this Red Sox team, and this is not something that Chaim Bloom should be blamed for, obviously, but when you come in here and you have a bunch of contracts that are questionable at best, and you just had to shed payroll, and you had to basically, you're paying David, not this year because he decided to opt out, but you're going to be paying David Price not to play for your baseball team, right? So this team just got itself in a ton of financial trouble. This gives you flexibility going forward rather than having all that money invested in one player in Mookie Betts. And quite frankly, I think that the Red Sox fans overrated the player. He's really good. I'm not disputing that. He's going to be a perennial all-star, but I believe that Red Sox fans have overrated the player. You have Devers and you have Bogarts. You're going to be fine. You have JD Martinez. You're going to be fine. So Mookie this year, I'm sure he's going to play well in Los Angeles for the next couple of years. But that contract, as all these long-term massive contracts do, it's going to look bad over the totality of the contract. And let's not also forget this with Mookie Betts. He's 27. He's 27 years old. This is going to be his 27-year-old season. It's not like you're signing a guy when he's 23 or he's 24 years old. So that contract is not going to age well. And the guy that I've always compared him to is Andrew McCutchen. If you look at Andrew McCutchen, at 27, he was still really good, which this is Mookie Betts' 27-year-old season. And the reason I compare the two is McCutchen, 5'11", 195. His game was based on his raw athleticism, just like Mookie Betts' game is based on his athleticism, his speed, his bat speed, right? So McCutchen, smaller guy like Mookie, and actually he's bigger than Mookie. Mookie's only, what, about 5'10", 180 pounds? McCutchen's 5'11", 195. McCutchen hit .314 with 32 home runs in his 27-year-old season. Next year at 28, he was really good. .292, .401 on base percentage, 23 home runs. Really good player still, but then at 29, just .256, .766 OPS. He's never been the same player again, and that's why he's played for a bunch of teams since then. He's played on a bunch of teams. He's now on the Phillies. He played on the Yankees. He played on the Giants. He's never been the same player, right? I just see the same kind of scenario happen with Mookie Betts. Now, maybe he holds off Father Time, if you will, a little longer than Andrew McCutchen did, because at this point in time, Andrew McCutchen is just a guy in Major League Baseball. But I don't see Mookie Betts being good for 7 years of that contract just based on the way that Mookie Betts plays, where his game is based a lot on his athleticism, right? He doesn't have raw power like, say, JD Martinez has raw power, or Rafael Devers at the age of 23 has raw power. Mookie Betts doesn't have raw power. Mookie Betts' power comes from his ability to turn quickly, his quick hands, etc. It's not based on his overall strength. It's based on his bat speed, etc. So in my mind, I don't see the player aging particularly well. And not to mention the fact that if you think about Mookie Betts as well, and I know that I said I give him credit, and I do, for the business acumen of Mookie Betts. To be able to pass on massive contracts like that, $100 million, $200 million, $300 million, I give him a lot of credit for that. But I think part of the reason that Mookie Betts was so willing to pass on that type of money was, yeah, sure, there is this level of confidence that the player has in himself. There's the attitude that, you know what, I'm going to get what I want when I get to the open market. And I give him credit for that, and I give his agents credit for that. But I think another part of what Mookie Betts was thinking when he was passing on all these contracts was, I don't know if I want to be here forever. I don't know if I want to be a member of the Red Sox organization forever. Because when he got to the Dodgers in March, he was ready to negotiate right away. And they said as much today that right when Mookie Betts got to the Dodgers after the trade, he was willing to negotiate a contract. Now, of course, the contract doesn't come out until now. And I'm sure Mookie and his representatives were playing hardball at that particular time because this is before the COVID-19 pandemic presented itself. So I'm sure at that time they're playing hardball, which they should do at that time. But now, considering the fact that we have uncertainty going forward in the sport in terms of the owners and the players being at odds, etc., Mookie Betts was more willing to play ball with the Dodgers, right? So he gets the deal done, but he was at least indicating to the Dodgers right when he arrived, yeah, hey, I want to be here. I want to sign an extension. Well, the Red Sox, when Chaim Bloom and the Red Sox organization approached Mookie Betts this particular offseason before the trade, what was Mookie Betts saying? Oh, I want to focus on 2020. So that tells me that the player wasn't super sold on staying in this market. And you can understand, this is a fishbowl. When you don't perform at a high level, you will be criticized. And when I look at Mookie Betts, you look at his postseason in 2018, the Red Sox won a World Series, so he's not going to get criticized when he only hits 210 and he hits one home run, which was in the clinching game. Mookie Betts really did not do much in that postseason run. Now, he was a large part of why the Red Sox were the best team in baseball, hit 346, hit north of 30 home runs. I give him all the credit for that. I'm not dismissing what he did during the regular season. But when you look at the facts of the postseason, he did not perform in 18. So if you flip that forward, after Mookie Betts gets the contract, he saw how this fan base, and look, David Price did a lot of stuff to get the fan base to be pissed off with him based on the fact that right when he comes here, he doesn't perform. He's got all these issues, whether it's the allergies, then he has the whole situation with Dennis Eckersley. So there's definitely that dynamic to it as well. And Mookie was obviously very well liked here, unlike Price, who was always, there was always something with him, whether it was an injury, whether it was some sort of controversy. But I also do think that Mookie Betts saw, hey, David Price gets all this money. The fan base expects him to perform. Well, what happens when I get this contract? And if I don't perform, am I going to take that criticism? Am I going to get criticized like David Price did? I do believe there was an element of that with Mookie Betts. And I also think that the personality, he doesn't really jump off the screen as the leader of the team, right? And now, in my mind, this has become Xander Bogaerts' team ever since he signed that extension last year. Bogaerts is the guy that he wanted to be here. No doubt about it, right? He wanted to be here. He went to the front office and he said, hey, I want a contract. He told his agent, Scott Boras, get the deal done. So Bogaerts approached the Red Sox about the extension. With Mookie Betts, it wasn't like, oh, yeah, let's play ball with the Red Sox. No, it's, if they don't give me exactly what I want, which is north of $400 million at that point in time after the 18 season, no, we're good. We're not doing it. We're not going to try to come to an agreement midway. And with Xander Bogaerts, and I get Bogaerts didn't have the pedigree of Mookie Betts did at that point in time, but with Bogaerts, it's, hey, what can I do to stay here? I want to make sure that I play my career here. That was Bogaerts' intentions. With Mookie Betts, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, I'm just telling you the reality of what the situation was. Mookie Betts' intention was, how do I get to free agency, and how do I get the most possible money that I can? So when I look at the Red Sox, I can't blame them for trading the player. I believe it was the right move. Quite frankly, and I'm even saying, I don't think the player is going to age well. I don't think this is going to be a good contract for the Dodgers long term. I really don't. So I think they dodged a bullet when it comes to that scenario. But even if you say, if my hypothetical was, or I believed that Mookie was going to age well, what were the Red Sox going to do? What were the Red Sox going to do? They offered him $300 million. It's not like they were lowballing Mookie Betts. This isn't a John Lester situation where John Lester was completely lowballed by the organization. There's no disputing that. They offered him a deal that was less than Homer Bailey. You're asking yourself, who the hell is Homer Bailey, right? Exactly the point. With Mookie Betts, this guy was being offered $300 million. He didn't want to play. He didn't want to sign that contract. And I know, well, he's going to the highest bidder. Now, I understand that. He's going to the Dodgers and he was traded there. He signs his big fat contract. I get it. I get it. I'm not blaming Mookie Betts for doing that. But I'm telling you, the Red Sox didn't have another option at this point in time. They didn't have another option. And I guarantee you this. If Mookie Betts signed this contract with the Red Sox, you would have Red Sox fans that were pissed. And you know what they'd all be citing is, hey, you know how many guys have signed a $200 million contract and actually won a World Series? There's like 14 guys in the history of the sport and all, only Alex Rodriguez has won a World Series. That's exactly what Red Sox fans would be doing. They would be saying, hey, this is a stupid deal, right? This is a stupid deal, because that's what you want to say is when it doesn't work out the way you want it to work out, you want to blame somebody else. And then when it does work out, you're going to blame the organization for overpaying. That's what would have happened. I guarantee you that if Mookie Betts signed this contract with the Red Sox, a lot of people would have been blaming the Red Sox organization. But one thing I don't want anybody to say tonight, and if you do say this tonight, I'm going to have a real issue with you, is don't tell me that the Red Sox got cheap with Mookie Betts. I don't want to hear that whatsoever. Don't accuse this organization of being cheap, okay? Looking at the opening day payrolls, in 19, the Red Sox were number one in baseball. In 18, they were number one in baseball. In 17, they were third in payroll. In 2016, they were third in payroll. The Red Sox have not been a cheap organization. They had a certain price with the player, and when they approached him this particular offseason about a long-term contract extension and getting back to the negotiating table, Mookie didn't want to do it. He was focused on the 2020 season. So at that point, what is Chaim Bloom and the organization supposed to do? they're supposed to get the most return for what they could get for Mookie Betts. Now, unfortunately, you probably could have got a bigger return if you didn't have to put David Price in the deal, but those are the cards that Chaim Bloom was dealt, and he sent away Mookie Betts, and he got three prospects. And you got a guy that's going to be your starting right fielder in Verdugo. The organization is obviously really high on Jeter Downs, so this was the best situation for the Red Sox going forward. And ordinarily, this is not a deal that you would see the Dodgers make, but they made it because they're desperate right now. Think about that Dodgers franchise. They are absolutely desperate. They've won their division, what, seven consecutive years, and what do they have to show for it? Absolutely nothing. They have nothing. They don't have a World Series title. The Dodgers have nothing. 617-779-7937 is the number. I should say over the past 7 years. Obviously, they won if you go back, way back to 1988, but I'm talking about this current Dodgers core, if you will. They haven't won anything. 617-779-7937. What do you make of the Mookie Betts contract? Let's get to Steve. He's in Framingham. What's up, Steve?
Hey, it's really good to talk to you. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. So I called in a while ago, and I've been listening to you, and I totally agree with everything you're saying. When the pandemic started, I actually got an opportunity to read Alex Speer's book, Homegrown, mm-hmm. right? And it was all about the contracts and how you get younger players for cheaper money, and then you augment your team with guys like Chris Sale and such. And it's exactly what the Sox did. And what's happened, I think, is you get a point where you have so many players that are talented and young, you can't afford to keep everybody. And because you have, you know, contracts like Sale and Eovaldi, I'm totally fine with them letting Mookie go. And also with that, they knew enough to try to get some talent. So Verdugo looks pretty good. And I think that they just needed to do that. And on the flip side, you have the Yankees and the Dodgers who are so deep and so dominant. The expectation is they'll go to the World Series. But I'm thinking that if they expand the playoffs, like they're talking, you know, the Red Sox would have an outside chance maybe of getting into the playoffs. And wouldn't it be ironic if the Red Sox or another team like the Sox were to be able to knock off, you know, the Yankees in a short series?
Yeah, my question with that would be, Steve, and I appreciate the phone call, if you want to grab his line and weigh in on the Mookie Betts situation, certainly welcome to do so. The number 617-779-7937. My one question about the Red Sox in terms of the totality of the season, and I'll get into it in greater detail tonight because the season, of course, opens up on Friday, is I understand it's a shortened season, so you can believe in this team because of the fact that, yeah, they have one of the best lineups in all of Major League Baseball. There's still no disputing that, even with the absence of Mookie Betts. But still, do you have enough pitching to get through? That's the question that you're going to have to ask yourself. Do you have enough pitching to get through? Godley's on the mound tonight. Ryan Weber looked good last night. At least he looked passable, right? If Ryan Weber gives you six innings and he gives up four runs, I'll take that. I'll take that from Ryan Weber because he's not a premier starter in Major League Baseball. But right now, when you look at this team entering the season, Eovaldi is still somebody that, in my mind, he's a wild card. I get it that a lot of people are making the argument for Eovaldi. Well, hey, in a shortened sprint type season, hey, Eovaldi can be really good. Okay, yeah, I mean, he can convince me of that when he does it. I'm not sold on Nathan Eovaldi. Yeah, he had that great month in October, but he's got to prove it. And at this particular point in time, when I look at Nathan Eovaldi, I start to think to myself, okay, you can say, all right, well, last year, you know what, he's coming off the World Series year. You cut him some slack. You give him a break because he was so crucial to that team actually winning the World Series. No doubt about that. He was incredible, incredible in that run. So maybe you give him a break last year and you say, you know what, he had the loose bodies in his elbow, which just sounds gross. He had that same thing going on in Tampa the year prior. But in my mind, nobody's facing more pressure on this Red Sox team than Nathan Eovaldi. Nathan Eovaldi has to go out there every fifth day and put this team in a position to win games. Bottom line, that's what Nathan Eovaldi is going to have to do for this team because you don't have a lot of depth in that starting rotation. And the other thing I would point to is this, like outside of Nathan Eovaldi, how many guys are going to pile up a lot of innings? Because if Nathan Eovaldi doesn't do that, then you're taxing the bullpen even more, and I have my concerns about the bullpen. So just to get into a broader thing with this Red Sox team, even though it's a shortened season, I understand that a lot of you are hopeful the Red Sox can make the playoffs. I understand your excitement for the season and all that, and Devers and Bogarts and Martinez, all those guys are great hitters. I understand that, but I would caution you. Just because it's a shortened season, it doesn't mean just ignore the fact that you have no pitching. That's an issue. 617-779-7937. Let's get to Ken in Plymouth. What's up, Ken?
So as long as David Price is gone, I'm glad Mookie. I mean, anything to get rid of him. Do you throw the bank at Devers now?
I would, Ken. And most of these guys are not like Mookie. They're going to let you buy out their arbitration year so they get more money. I would be paying Devers after this season, certainly.
I would throw the book at him because the kid hits anything.
Yeah, no doubt. He's an amazing hitter. He's an amazing hitter. Devers was incredible last year. Really, it was after, remember he made that error against the White Sox. And actually, Alex Cora, this is one thing that I do have a little bit of a concern about going forward here with this team. Nothing against Ron Renneke, but Alex Cora got to Devers. Because remember what happened after that White Sox game last year? I believe it was in May. And Devers, remember, got off to the rough start, had 9 errors early. Then he cleaned up his defense. But Alex Cora said it's got to be better. He called him out publicly. After the game, called out Devers, and ever since that point, Devers got a lot better defensively, and he exploded offensively, completely exploded offensively. So I would make sure that guy's going nowhere, because he's not just one of the best young players in the sport, he's one of the best players in the sport. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. If you want to hop on board, certainly welcome to do so. If you want to weigh in on the Mookie Betts situation, you can. One other thing, that I think the Red Sox won on in this Mookie Betts deal. I'll get into that in just a little bit, and we'll get you trending in just a second here.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're right back to it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI.
I don't like regret turning down that. That was, you know, once I make a decision, I'm making a decision. I'm not going back and questioning myself. So I don't worry about that. And, you know, the market will be what the market is. We'll just kind of cross that bridge when we get there. And I don't think at any point did we imagine it would be 13 years, but I don't think it's very surprising either. It's obviously it's a long-term commitment, but I wouldn't want it with anybody else, you know, other than some organization like this.
All right, that's Mookie Betts. Now, the first cut you heard there was Mookie Betts a couple of weeks ago was saying, yeah, I don't regret not signing $300 million or for 10 years and $300 million with the Red Sox. I thought he was full of it at that time. I did. I was wrong. He was right. Okay, I'm sorry, Mookie. You were right. You were going to be able to get the contract that ultimately you wanted. Now, maybe it's a little less than he wanted, but you can't really complain when you're going to make almost $400 million in salary to play baseball. So I give Mookie a ton of credit. I don't think I would have had the guts to pass on $100 million, $200 million, and then $300 million. Pretty incredible that he passed on all that. But in the long run, this is going to be better for the Red Sox. It is, because this contract at the end of it, and not even the end of it, I believe in the middle of this contract, it's not going to look good for the Dodgers. And I really do believe when you look at the Dodgers, where that team has been the past couple of years, they've won the division 7 years in a row. They went to the World Series 2 years in a row. Of course, they got crushed by the Red Sox. But the year prior to that, they go 7 games against the Astros. And we all know what happened there with the Astros. They cheated a little bit that season. The year prior to that, they lost to the Cubs in the championship series. And the Cubs, of course, went on to win the World Series over Cleveland. So when you look at this team, they've been knocking at the door. And Andrew Friedman has passed on a lot of these long-term deals. Remember, Manny Machado, they traded for him at the trading deadline the season in 18 when the Red Sox beat them in the World Series. They didn't bring back Machado. They were in the Gerrit Cole sweepstakes, and everybody thought the Dodgers were going to get Gerrit Cole because of the L.A. connections. He's from UCLA. So Andrew Friedman's been really picky with who he signs to contracts, and he hasn't signed a lot of these big long-term contracts. Now, they signed Kershaw to a big extension early in the Friedman tenure, and then they gave him like a 2-year contract extension last offseason. But overall, they have not paid a whole lot of money. Now, they have a big payroll, but they haven't been giving out these fat, bloated contracts like we've seen in so many other places in Major League Baseball. And what I think this is for the Dodgers, it's almost a panic move, right? When you think about it, this is not the way that Andrew Friedman ordinarily does business. But what he's saying is, it's not good enough. We have to win a World Series. So I guarantee you, if you injected Andrew Friedman with truth serum, he'd say, yeah, Mookie's probably going to be good for the first 3 years. I don't know after that. But I believe right now with the young core, and we're not paying Bellinger much right now, with Bellinger there, and not that he's young, but you still got a stud in Justin Turner. We'll see how much longer Kershaw has at being a really good pitcher. He's no longer elite, but he's still really, really good. Walker Buehler's an absolute stud. One of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball in my mind. I mean, he's the one guy we saw against the Red Sox. That dude was dominant. So I believe what Andrew Friedman was saying here is, hey, I got to finish the job. I got to get this done. I got to finally win a World Series. So I don't care about the back end of the deal with Mookie Betts. I know our ownership is willing to pay a whole lot of money for this organization. We got to win now. So let's just make sure Mookie's happy. And it would have looked really bad if they traded for Mookie Betts and he plays 60 games and then he's out in the open market and you don't know if he's coming back. You couldn't, if you were the Dodgers, you could not let Mookie Betts get to free agency. That would have just been a really bad look for the Dodgers, especially if they don't win the World Series, right? So if they didn't have Mookie signed and they didn't win the World Series, oh, that would have been an awful look for the Dodgers. Just let him go after you gave up three prospects. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. Let's check in with Rick. He is in Kingston. Rick, what's up, man?
Hi, Brian. Thank you. Hey, talking about Mookie, I agree with everybody. I think the Red Sox did what they had to do. They gave him a competitive bid. They had to let him go. He wasn't going to stay. You remember a guy named Jacoby Ellsbury? I say like in 5 years, he's going to look like that. The wheels will fall off. He has more talent. I wish they could have got some pitching help because the Dodgers are stocked, but you had to get rid of Price, and look what Price is doing. He wouldn't help us this year. He'd be sitting out. I think the Dodgers had to sign him because if the season started, you get a month in and we're not in a bubble like basketball and hockey. We have COVID. The season counts. He can walk. So I think, you know, they had to do what they had to do too.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rick. Hey, I appreciate the phone call, man. I do really believe the Dodgers were up against it where they said, you know what, let's get back to the negotiating table. And they took advantage of Mookie in a way, too. Not that they took advantage of him. They've given him $365 million, or I guess $392 million in total money. But Mookie Betts was probably more willing to talk right now about an extension, considering the fact that we don't know what's going to go on with the league and the union going forward. And we don't know what kind of impact the coronavirus is going to have on the league in general. So if you're the Dodgers and if you're Mookie Betts, both sides at this point, it benefits them both to get a deal done. I did find it funny that Mookie was basically alluding to the fact that, hey, 13 years, I didn't think I'd commit anywhere for 13 years, but this is the type of place I'd like to do it. You just got there, okay? You just got there. Let's see how things go, and then we'll see. You've barely been in Los Angeles, Mookie, okay? So now you're all sold on staying in Los Angeles long term. You've barely been there, man, okay? Give it some time. Let it marinate a little bit. But I do think this is a better market for Mookie Betts because you can say, well, Brian, Los Angeles is a big market, man. Los Angeles is a big market. Yeah, but it's West Coast. It's West Coast. It's different. West Coast is different than the East Coast. You play for the Red Sox. You play for the Yankees. I mean, you're getting scrutinized. There is pressure on you each and every night. Just think about what Mookie went through last year, right? And I'm not saying that it was unfair, but you had a portion of the fan base last year. and not even a small portion, okay? You had a lot of fans here that were wondering, hey, does Mookie Betts want to be here? And it wasn't like that speculation wasn't warranted. The organization offered the guy three different contract extensions, basically after 16, after 17, after 18. They went to Mookie Betts and they were offering him contract extensions, and it wasn't like the organization was offering him nothing. They offered him $300 million, and he wasn't remotely interested in that, right? His counteroffer was, give me 12 years and $420 million. So at that particular point in time, if you're a fan of the team, you're starting to think, does Mookie Betts really like being here? Does Mookie Betts like Boston? So he already got kind of an idea of what it was going to be like going forward. That, okay, well, first of all, he wasn't performing like he did the previous season. But secondly to that, hey, the fan base is upset with me. Like, Mookie already got a taste of the fan base not being happy with the player. The Dodgers fan base, they're just pumped. Oh, yeah, Mookie's here. Great. We got a lot of celebrities. Larry David's going to be at the game. This is great. They're just happy that Mookie Betts is there. With Red Sox fans, after Mookie Betts signed a contract like this, he was going to have to live up to basically the MVP-type seasons year after year after year, or else Mookie Betts was going to hear, hey, contract, a little too much for Mookie Betts in terms of the contract, right? That's what he would have to hear. And the fact that he felt last year that he had to go out of his way to put it out there. Remember, he talked to MassLive.com, and he said essentially that, hey, just because I want to test free agency, just because I want to go to free agency, it doesn't mean that I don't like being a member of this organization and that I don't like Boston. That's what he said. He said, I just want to make it clear that this doesn't mean I don't like Boston. So Mookie, you could tell last year that the contract was actually getting to him, that the contract was actually wearing on him last year to the point where he felt it was necessary to reach out through the media to the fan base to tell the fans, I still like Boston. So Mookie was already starting to understand what the scrutiny was going to be like going forward. Now, it would be for a different thing in the future. Like, say if he signed this contract with the Red Sox, and then we're 2 years into the contract, and he's not in the MVP race, he maybe tails off a little bit defensively, or he goes through an extended slump, well, then the fan base is going to be upset with the player because, hey, we expect you to perform if you're getting that type of money. In Los Angeles, it's different. They're just happy they got Mookie Betts. They got Mookie and they get Bellinger. Oh, man, they better win a World Series in the next couple of years. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Christopher in Peabody. What's up, Christopher?
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I was listening to you talk earlier about the Dodgers. I've been a Dodgers fan since 2010, and I got to tell you,
lifelong,
I don't think you're giving them enough. Huh?
Lifelong Dodger fan, huh?
Not really, but, you know, I've been 10 years and counting. But, you know, I got to say, when I heard you say that, you know, they haven't had anything to show for it, I don't know. I like to point out that I don't think you're giving them enough credit considering that they were robbed in two World Series and won by the Red Sox. In 2018, I think the Red Sox cheated with Alex Cora as manager with those videotaping things.
Yeah, there's no evidence of that whatsoever.
The evidence is Alex Cora isn't manager anymore. I mean,
Christopher, hold on. Alex Cora is not the manager anymore because of what happened in Houston. It has nothing to do with the Red Sox thing. They found nothing, essentially, with the Red Sox in 18. That came back. They didn't find much, Christopher.
I don't know about that, because if it was really just what happened in Houston, then why didn't the Red Sox keep him?
Well, he was already suspended for this year. He wasn't going to be able to manage this year.
What do you mean this year?
He was suspended. He couldn't manage no matter what this year. So they just decided to move on from him. He was already suspended.
Right, but Alex Cora was fired as manager a couple of seasons ago, last year.
No, he was. This is his first year that he isn't the manager.
Okay, but the Red Sox let him go last year, did they not?
After this investigation with the Astros, they let him go. They didn't fire him based on last year. They fired him after the Astros investigation.
I don't know. I mean,
Christopher, I do. I just told you. Hey, I appreciate the call. Lifelong Dodgers fan. He's been a Dodgers fan since 2010. He thinks that, the Red Sox cheated their way to a World Series that year. That's why the Dodgers got screwed twice, according to him. Now, if you want to come up with the Astros one, fine. whatever. I mean, clearly the Astros are massive cheaters. Nobody would dispute that. You look at what happened yesterday in their exhibition game. You see that? Beamed three of them. Altuve got beamed. Bregman got beamed. And I believe Springer got beamed as well.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Lifelong Dodgers fan since 2010. I don't know what you're doing. By the way, it's my hometown, Peabody. Come on, pick it up, Christopher. Bad look, okay? I mean, if you're going to say this stuff about Alex Cora, at least have some of the facts, okay? Come on. But the reason I say the Dodgers don't have anything to show for it is they don't have a World Series. They've been arguably the best team in baseball for the past 5 years. They've won their division seven consecutive seasons. They have nothing. They do not have a World Series trophy. They don't have a ring. So at this point, that's why I say the Dodgers got desperate. And I'm not saying it's the wrong move to trade for Mookie Betts. He's one of the best players in the sport. But this is ordinarily not a deal that Andrew Friedman does. Andrew Friedman doesn't ordinarily do a contract like this. And you know what it means? Well, when Cody Bellinger is getting close to his contract extension, he's going to be saying, okay, I want more than Mookie. So they have to pay another guy. Now, look, the Dodgers have done a nice job in terms of their finances over the past couple of years. But once you get one of these contracts on the books, it's tough going forward to build a team. And that's why I believe the Red Sox, they're in a position where they could be in a situation where they're still going to have one of the better lineups in Major League Baseball. And now they have the flexibility going forward to try to build up the pitching staff next offseason or trade for some pitching prospects. Like, that's what the Red Sox need to do. Mookie Betts, in my mind, look, I'm not diminishing what the player is. I'm just saying last year he's fourth on the team in average. He's fourth in OPS. Now, he did lead the team in on-base percentage. He was fourth in home runs. He's a really good player. But you have enough offense with the Red Sox. And going back and forth with Mookie Betts on contract extensions, whether or not he wants to be here, it just wasn't worth it anymore. So you cut your losses, you trade the guy, see what you can get back, and they got a whole lot back. Okay, we'll see what Verdugo is. Now, I'm not going to be awfully judgmental on Verdugo after one 60-game season, considering the fact he's still a young player, and also considering the fact that he basically hasn't played baseball in a year. Last year in August, he was dealing with that back injury, and now he's finally back into the lineup. But I'm not going to be super pissed off if Verdugo does not have a good season in 2 months. It's tough to judge a player in this short sample size, if you will. All right, 617-779-7937 is the number. Do you blame the Red Sox for Mookie Betts not being here? I don't. And another benefit of moving on from Mookie, I'll get to that next. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back to it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI.
We've been on the run, driving in the sun, looking out for number one. California, here we come.
Is ready in the stretch, set at the belt, checks the runners. The lefty comes home. Runners go, swing and a drive. Deep left field. It's a grand slam. Mookie Betts, his fourth career grand slam. And the Red Sox lead it 5-2. What an at-bat. What a moment. What an incredible at-bat by an incredible player, Mookie Betts. Unbelievable.
All right, Mookie Betts. Well, the Red Sox season gets underway on Friday, and Mookie Betts, of course, now a member of the Dodgers. And it doesn't appear he's going anywhere anytime soon because he just signed a 12-year extension, $365 million for Mookie Betts, now a member of the Dodgers, over $390 million in total in terms of the 13-year deal. And by the way, credit to Lou Merlone. He's the one that had that story first today. So credit Lou Merlone for breaking that news today. He had it before anybody else had it. Jeff Passan didn't give him credit right away, which is an absolute joke. Come on, pick it up, Passan. That was unprofessional. But anyway, getting to the bigger point, one of the other benefits, and this really isn't a benefit, but one of the other things now we're going to find out that Mookie Betts is out of the equation. Well, is Andrew Benintendi going to take a step forward? Is he actually going to take a step forward? Because here are the numbers on Benintendi the past couple of years. 271 batting average in 17. Then he goes up to 290, and then he drops down to 266. And here's the more troubling thing. In 17, he had 20 home runs. In 18, he had 16. And then in 19, he hit 13. So now when you look at that outfield, Andrew Benintendi is the guy that's going to have to step up. Like I said, Verdugo basically hasn't played baseball in a year. You look at a guy like Jackie Bradley Jr., who we know is streaky as hell. And by the way, if you're the Red Sox and Jackie Bradley gets on a streak, put him up for sale. See if somebody will give you something in return for Jackie Bradley Jr., because you're not going to be bringing him back. He's not a part of this team long-term going forward. I mean, you've got enough of a sample size on Jackie Bradley Jr. No, the guy's not consistent enough. You're not going to pay him money going forward. Somebody else may say, oh, look at these numbers defensively. Oh, look at the analytics on Jackie in center field. Let's give him a big contract. We all know he's super streaky. So if Jackie Bradley Jr. gets hot, you may sell him off and get something in return for Jackie Bradley Jr. But Verdugo, coming into his first year with the Red Sox, playing in a 60-game season, I don't have high expectations for him this season, considering the fact that he's missed a bunch of time. But with Andrew Benintendi, he's the guy that we got to find out. Hey, are you going to be a significant member of this core going forward, or are you just another guy that is disposable if in the latter years the Red Sox decide, hey, you know what, let's put him up for a trade as well. If he doesn't perform at a high level down the road, they may be willing to move on from the player. But he has this opportunity over the next 2 months to prove. And Ron Renicki was on with OMF today. He's been very high on Andrew Benintendi. Apparently he had a great summer camp, if you will, whatever they called that second spring training. Apparently he was really good. Well, back it up. Let's see Andrew Benintendi actually take a step forward. I thought this guy was going to be a superstar when he first came to the Red Sox organization, drafted 7th. Out of Arkansas. He came up, remember, in that series against Cleveland. He was like the only guy that did anything with the bat, hit the home run. And I thought, okay, this guy's something. You got something with Benintendi, but he really hasn't gotten better. And this is the year where he's got to prove it. He's entering his 25-year-old season, right? I mean, he's got to prove it. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Jeff in Westford. Jeff, what's up, man?
How you doing, Brian?
Good.
I agree with you a lot about what you're saying. I agree. The Red Sox definitely aren't cheap. They spend as much as anyone does.
Yeah.
And I think the Mookie contract is a horrible contract.
I agree.
But what I do blame the Sox before, what I do blame is where they're spending their money and the pitching, the rotation that we have to watch this year. Like, I can't remember a worse starting rotation for the Red Sox in my entire life.
Jeff, it's putrid. Hey, come on, man. Like, it's think horrific. About this. You got Eovaldi, who he was horrible last year. He had one good month in October in the World Series, and we'll always be grateful for that, okay? I feel like you got to preface it, Jay. Yeah. We'll always be grateful for that. Now, I am high on Erod, but he's coming back from COVID-19, so it may take him a little while to get it going. I mean, and we heard earlier today Ron Renicki was on with the guys on OMF, and he alluded to the fact that you had Hernandez and Josh Taylor out of the bullpen. Those guys retired after throwing 20 pitches. And you're expecting Erod to give you 6 innings when he goes out there. So
right. You were hoping one good year.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, you're hoping for 12. Yeah, you're hoping for 12 starts out of the guy, and you're not going to get that now. And it's not his fault that he had COVID-19. But who do you have after that? Martin Perez. This guy had an ERA north of 5 last year. I mean, come on. Ryan Weber, look, he looked okay last night. If he can do that, he can keep you in games.
God.
But, he only throws 88, 89 miles an hour.
ERA.
What's that?
He's never thrown under 4 ERA in his
right.
life.
Jeff, he's never made an opening day roster. He's never made an opening day roster. I mean, and then they
I
pick up Godley
that.
At the end. I mean, yeah, it's incredible. The pitching staff they're putting out there. And to your point, and we can't blame Heim Bloom for this, but think about the contracts they've given out over the past couple of years. They gave out the Eovaldi contract, and look, the book's still out on that. He still has a chance to prove us wrong, but I have my doubts about Eovaldi. But the Sale contract, that's the one to me. And that's not just Dave Dombrowski. That's ownership as well, because they have to sign off on the deal, right? But, I mean,
Absolutely.
Holy crap. Jeff, I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it when they gave him that contract, considering the past three or the last 3 years before the contract, he had broken down late in the season. The World Series year, he wasn't even like a key contributor in the playoffs. So I don't understand why they didn't make him prove it.
And who's our Eovaldi in the bullpen this year? Like, who do we have in the bullpen? Like, I don't know where the money's being spent on this, the entire staff. Like, I just don't get it.
Yeah, it's being spent. Well, I guess it's not really being spent. It was $217 million to David Price. Now, David Price, the Red Sox aren't paying him this year because he decided to opt out. But, geez, I mean, you know, the one thing that I can say about last night watching the game is we've had a crazy couple of months here, but it's exactly what you thought it would be. Now, it's an exhibition game. I get it. But it's exactly what you thought it would be, right? So you get a surprising start out of Weber, which I will see if he can do this going forward, because sometimes those type of pitchers throw you off, right? Everybody in Major League Baseball is throwing 94, 95, etc. If Weber can locate those pitches, and what he did last night was fine. If he does that for 12 starts, that's a great season out of Ryan Weber. And that's much better than you thought you could get out of a guy that is somebody that doesn't have much of a track record in Major League Baseball, right? So if you get that out of Weber, great. But then after that, I mean, Barnes comes in, he gives up a home run. And by the way, Barnes is somebody that has to perform at a high level this year. After last year, started off great, and then it looked like he wore down. But you need Barnes to be a key contributor out of that bullpen. You need him to be one of your high leverage guys, if you will. And then the Brazier experience is still going on, or experiment is still going on. And then he comes in there in the ninth inning. I mean, geez. Tries to pick off a guy at first or throw it over to first. Throws it at the shins of the first baseman, and the very next pitch, middle to Derek Fisher. Okay, there goes the game. The Blue Jays win it. So it's the exact thing we thought was going to happen in terms of the bullpen this year. So we've had, like, what, 4.5 months since COVID-19 started and halted the sports world. We come back from it. What happens? Exactly what we expected to happen with the Red Sox in terms of the bullpen and in terms of those guys not performing at a high level in a game, in an exhibition game. And I get it. It's just an exhibition game. I'm not going to became used to that last year throughout the majority of the season. But really, I mean, this is one of, on paper. Now, they all have a chance to surprise us, right? But in terms of the starting rotation, I can't remember one that's worse in my lifetime in terms of entering the season, right? Eovaldi is your opening day starter. Eovaldi, that is your opening day starter. You got him from the Rays a couple of years ago for Jalen Beeks. All right, a lot more to get into. The number 617-779-7937. Hey, you know what the good thing is, though? We're talking about actual sports now. We're actually talking about the Red Sox. If you want to weigh in on Mookie Betts, you can. And also, I do want to get to something Ron Renicke said today. He's obviously made a lineup change over the past couple of days. JD Martinez, he has been using him at the two-hole. Ron Renicke told the guys on OMF why he's doing it. I don't like it. We'll get to it next here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.